but there was a note of triumph in her voice as she spoke.
The disease cultures are destroyed. So is the clone, and we've got an antidote. It'll prevent the spread of the disease, but whether it'll cure those who have it, I guess you'll just have to watch me and Doc to see.
In the battle's aftermath, it was relatively easy to mop up the last illuminated ones. Normally, Ryan would feel that chilling the defeated and defenseless was somehow wrong, but with the illuminated ones, he was prepared to make an exception. They deserved to be treated as little more than vermin. It wasn't execution, it was pest control. After them, the subhuman creatures they had created had to be destroyed. The poor, shambling half-humans were riddled with disease, and their deaths were merciful. While Ryan and Gloria organized that, Tammy and JB joined Doc and Mildred in the lab, where Mildred explained her plans for inoculation and spreading the antidote across the lands. After she and Christy had synthesized large amounts, she would leave it in Crossroads for convoys to transport. But in the meantime, Tammy and JB rounded up the war party and ferried the fighters into the lab where Doc and Mildred worked in relays, inoculating them all. After Christy had been injected, she joined them, enabling them to get through the vast number of people with ease. Gate runners were sent out to the WAGs and returned with the men of the tribe, who were also inoculated. The army returned to Crossroads, not in triumph, as the Ville citizens were thinking of those they'd left behind, and who even in the last 24 hours may have breathed their last, with a supply of the antidote and the means to administer it to the rest of the Ville. Baron Robertson was among the first to greet them, and the first to be inoculated. Hector was among the next batch, Doc making sure that the hollow-eyed Ville healer was treated, and making him rest until the injection had a chance to take effect. The Ville was a hive of activity in the following days, as the Gate and companions helped the decimated population to restore some kind of order and repair to homes that had been destroyed. It would take a long time to rebuild totally, but the aim was for Crossroads to become the port of call for all convoys once more. On the third day, Mildred and Tammy returned with a WAG containing copious supplies of antidote, synthesized within the redoubt. The facility was now closed but still operational, and Mildred met with Robertson and Hector to discuss the manufacture of more of the vaccine in the future. It was important that the Ville now act as a distribution center, sending the antidote everywhere with the convoys. The disease had spread beyond this area for sure. Convoys had unwittingly carried it out. In which case, they could take the antidote along the same routes. The disease might never be truly eradicated, but it could be controlled. What could have been a plague would now be little more than a localized nuisance. Hector and two Ville women traveled with Mildred and Christy to the redoubt, where they learned how to synthesize the antidote. Within a few days, things were ready for both the Gate and the companions to move on. The question was, to where? Leaving Crossroads to rebuild, the companions and Gate retreated to the latter's previous camp, and the tribe set up there for some days. It was a rare chance for both parties to rest. With Jack recovering after his inoculation, the albino spent some time with Gloria. Dean clung to Tammy, but for all four of them, it was a bittersweet time, tinged with the knowledge that they would soon part. By the fourth day, Ryan and JB were both itchy. New England made them uneasy, the memories of their exploits on the coast still too close for comfort, and both were keen to move. So it was that they gathered around the campfire as the cold night drew on, the companions and Tammy and Gloria.
You know the time has come to part, don't you, sweets?
We need to go. Maybe move farther north. One day maybe we'll settle, but for now...
For now, we just have to keep moving, keep searching.
For what?
I don't think any of us know, but we'll know when we find it.
Have you found it, Jack?
Jack was silent for a moment, then looked her in the eyes.
Maybe could have, but chilling follows, always. Can't be with, must always be alone. Safer for all.
Yeah, I can understand. I feel that way, and I'd like us to come with you, but we've got to stay.
Why?
Gloria looked into the fire, and for a moment it seemed as though she were lost in the flames, retreating into a trance state to look for an answer.
Our legends have always spoken of the gate and the pathway to illumination. I really thought we'd found that gateway when we found those scumfuckers. I thought that I would be the one to lead the tribe to our ultimate destiny.
And now?
And now, I don't know. I kind of figure that the answer does lie with what's happened. Somehow it equates to what's in our legends. I just haven't worked out how yet. But if the answer does lie in that redoubt, then I'll work it out. It just may take some time.
When the Gate tribe rose in the early morning sun, the space in the camp where the companions had billeted was empty. Before the dawn had even begun, Ryan had rallied his people, and they were already at the redoubt. As Ryan closed the door to the Mattrans unit and hurried to sit beside Christy, he reflected that none of them knew where they would end up. They only knew that they had to keep searching for something. Absolution, release, freedom, peace. As he drifted into unconsciousness, Ryan only hoped it was true, that he'd know it when he found it. In the relatively untouched area of what was once Niagara Falls, Ryan and his fellow wayfarers find the pastoral farmland under the despotic control of a twisted baron and his slave-breeding farm. Ryan, Mildred, and Christy are captured by the baron's Sekhmen to serve their leader's grotesque desires. JB, Jack, and Doc enlist the aid of Outlanders to organize a counterstrike, before it's too late for them all. Deathlands 61, Skydark spawned. Deathlands Destiny's Truth is a Cutting audio production. Copyright 2005, The Cutting Corporation. Performed by Richard Rowan with Colleen Delaney, Nanette Savard, Terrence Aselford, Kate Torrey, and Mort Shelby. Directed by Rick Rowan. Produced by Rick Rowan and Wayne Beeman. Executive producers James Cutting, Mary Cutting, and Angie Cornett. Vocal dialogue editing by Matt Webb and Brian Patton. Sound design by Dan Smith and Brian Patton. Script adapted for graphic audio by Bill Campbell. The Deathlands theme was composed by Mark Ashby. If you enjoyed Deathlands, be sure to look for James Axler's Outlanders, available at road stops everywhere at 1-800-670-5220 or at www.cuttingaudio.com, where you'll find samples of all our Action Pump titles, as well as free screensavers, ringtones, and games. Keep listening for a special extended excerpt from Outlander's Tomb of Time.